Please turn back with me, if you would, to John's Gospel, John 14. And mainly our focus tonight is there in verse 7. 400 years before the Lord Jesus Christ was born, the Greek philosopher Plato said that to find out something about the Father and Maker of the universe was a very hard task. Then he said that if you do find him, it is impossible to speak to others about him. Plato was dead wrong. He was so wrong, because it is not hard to find God, because God has revealed himself to us. He has made himself known. If you want to know God, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the process begins. For it is possible, in fact, it is the expectation, and it ought to be a burning desire within the heart of believers, especially believers, to know more of God. However, there is no doubt from the Apostle John's mind that the only way to know God is to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God. You cannot know God without knowing Christ. For Jesus Christ is God, and no one has access to the Father except through him. This is exactly what Jesus said in our more well-known passage of our Plus One series. We all know. Oh, I'm clicking. Try that one. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's the more well-known. Maybe the lesser-known one is in verse 7, which is going to be our focus tonight. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Knowing God and knowing Jesus is exactly what these verses teach us about. That word to know occurs just three times, just in verse 7 and one later on in verse 9. Jesus wanted to be sure that his disciples knew him as God. He wanted to make sure that the only way that they could have a relationship with God was through him. That first word, know, means to know something and to recognize something and to realize something by personal experience. It's not just something that is told to you. It's something that you need to know, because you yourself have encountered the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That second word that is used there, seen, is the idea of seeing something in the sense of perceiving and discerning the truth. And the Spirit of God combined those two words together in this particular verse. And in this context, Jesus is demanding that one personally recognize him and see him as God and as one with the Father. Can I just say to you, that throws in the face of every Jehovah's Witness and every Mormon the truth that Jesus is Lord. He is God. He is Yahweh. He and the Father are one. Now, just to put it into the context of the whole of the chapter, Jesus is addressing his disciples here. You go to verse 1, he's encouraging not to be troubled because of all that was ahead of them. He was about to leave them. Jesus was going back to heaven. He was going back to his home. And he was doing that via the cross. Some of the disciples already at this point had tried to stand against Jesus from going to the cross. And Jesus said, "Listen, get thee behind me, Satan, because you are preventing the will of the Father." He described to them exactly what was going to happen. And that was the way in which he would go back to the Father, via the cross. And he didn't want their hearts to be troubled by what they were about to see. We don't always, and I know, and it's rightfully that we don't, maybe sometimes we do around about Easter time, but when we gather around the Lord's table as we have done tonight, we don't always paint the graphic image of what the Lord Jesus Christ went through for us. And sometimes I'm glad we don't, because it is horrific. But you get that sense from that phrase, don't you, of whereby his own mother didn't recognize who he was. Such was the marring, such was the scarring in his appearance. His disciples were going to witness all of this. And he was going to leave them, and their hearts would be troubled. He just told them of their death, but also he told them that there was one who was even amongst them, the closest of the 12, who was actually going to betray him. He'd also just told them that there was one of them as well who was actually going to deny him 3 times. Imagine the suspicion amongst them. Is it going to be you? Who is it going to be? How do you react to that sort of information? How do you not let your heart be troubled when you're confronted with that level of information? Jesus said, this is how. If you understand what is happening here, if you grasp, theologically grasp, the ramification of all that is happening, let me tell you, your heart would not be troubled. If you fully understood who I am. If you will let your mind think about what I am about to say and do, your heart will not be continually troubled. If you know me, then you will know the Father, and you will know that I am in the perfect will of the Father who sent me. And so now the idea of knowing God takes on a whole new meaning. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, from this point on, disciples, know this, that because you've seen me, you have seen him also. Jesus is about to leave and go back to the Father's house in heaven. From this point on, the disciples would know God in the same way that you and I can know God. No longer would Jesus be physically here. It was by seeing him for who he really is and believing in him that their relationship with God would really begin. These disciples have been with him now for over 3 years. They'd listened to his teaching. They'd seen his incredible miracles. They'd traveled with him all around the country. But what is so interesting, and this was the disappointing thing which I was alluding to earlier on, they were still fuzzy on who he was. They still didn't fully understand that Jesus is God. Show us the Father and then we'll know. And Jesus said, have I been with you all these years that you still don't understand? This is serious teaching that these disciples really, truly needed. Because Jesus is just about to leave them. And they needed to be affirmed in the truth. Why? Because they were those who were going to teach the next generation of believers the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just point out to you that what Jesus Christ is teaching here is not shallow, it's not emotional, it's not quick. It is deep theology here. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, it is deep theology. We live in a time when people want to go to church and hear a 10 or a 20-minute sermonette that doesn't challenge them in their thinking or their living in any shape, manner, or form. As one particular preacher said, sermonettes for Christianettes. A short, shallow sermon for shallow Christians. What Jesus teaches in this section is something that we so desperately need to hear today in his church. People are still fuzzy about how we have a relationship with God, still fuzzy about who God is. The ecclesiastical world needs to a good dose of what Jesus Christ is teaching, and this is exactly what he's teaching. He's saying this, that in order to be in a right relationship with God, one must believe and one must know that Jesus Christ is the only link to God. For God the Son and God the Father are one. Amen. I think what is interesting is Jesus is actually talking and teaching a very, very important doctrine here, another side doctrine. This is one of those occasions where the Lord Jesus Christ alludes to the rapture of the church. Look what it says there in verse 13. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me where I will also be. Now, I know there are some who don't believe in the rapture of the church, or as the Greek word actually says, harpazo, which is the more correct word, because it means the snatching away, the catching up and the gathering up to himself. One of the things that's often being questioned about this particular verse is if it was so significant, why did the Lord Jesus Christ not then go in to teach about the rapture or the harpazo in a great depth way? I'll tell you the reason why, shall I? Because the greater understanding for these disciples was not what God will do for his church, but that his church understands who God is. They understand that Jesus Christ is God, and the only way to know the Father is through him. That is a far greater. These things which so often divide brothers and sisters about eschatological things, which in the end, as my brother often says to me, I am a pan-millennialist. In other words, it will pan out in the end and we'll trust God for it. But in the intermediate time, the important thing is that we know the Father, and we only know the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus majored on this teaching, because his disciples were fuzzy over that. Just hours before Christ is to die on the cross, they still have not connected the dots concerning him and the Father. Going to heaven is not determined by what we believe about millenniums or raptures or whatever it is, but is determined by what we believe about the Lord Jesus Christ himself. If we keep in mind that Jesus is driving this point home to these disciples in this private discussion that he's having with them in this inner room, we may conclude that Jesus knew that this doctrinal point was so, so important. It was key in their discipleship. It was key in what they would begin to teach others concerning God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knew this very point, and his connection to his Father would come under attack. He knew that there would be those who would attack. You know, the one of the most things that is attacked the most is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ knew it, and he needed to make sure that his disciples knew the truth so they could teach us. It was so important. Now, there are a series of several points that the Lord Jesus Christ brings out here, but we're not going to look at all of them. There's just two points I'm going to major on tonight. And the first is this. What would help them to understand is, if they knew me, you would have known my Father. The greatest problem with man is his relationship with God, is his ignorance of who God is. Most people think that they know God, that they know things about God, when all the reality, the truth is so often we know very, very little of him. And yet he's revealed himself to us clearly through his scriptures. On one particular occasion, a man was witnessing to a dear woman about sin and hell. And the woman he was witnessing to said, I don't like to hear about such things, because all I need to know is that God is a God of love. That's it. Just teach me that. The man responded, where did that idea about God is a God of love come from? And the woman simply said, well, everybody knows that. He said, oh no, everybody doesn't know that. They don't know that in India, in Africa, in Russia, in China, and many other parts of the world. You see, the idea that God is love, it does come from the scriptures. But what also comes from the scriptures is that God is a God of judgment. God is a God of righteousness. God is a God who created the hell, that one day he will send people to that hell. That doesn't sound loving, does it? But know this, that even the glory and the presence of Almighty God will even be found in hell, because his glory will be seen there as the perfect righteousness of God is exercised on those who refuse to believe the truth of Jesus. Many believe they know the truth about God when they really often only know a small amount about the nature and the character of him. If we only know of God, or the God of love, who wants to us to be happy and fulfilled, what the problem with that is when we come to Old Testament scriptures that speaks of his judgment upon his people, that we flounder around and we're concerned, what on earth is God? And what we do is we come to a conclusion that there's two gods. The God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament, and the two different gods. And what Jesus Christ is saying to his disciples here is, no, I and the Father are one. Look what Jesus said earlier on in John. In John 8, he says, in your own law it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. The other witness is my Father who sent me. Then they asked him, where is your father? See, again, these religious Jewish people who were meant to know the scriptures didn't understand what Jesus was saying. Where is your father? What were they thinking? Where's Joseph? He's dead, isn't he? Jesus was not referring to his earthly father. Where is your father? You do not know me or my father, Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also. See, the religious leaders in Jesus' day didn't understand, but nor did his disciples. His own supposedly believing disciples, just hours before Jesus was going to hang on the cross, needed to know the truth that the way to the Father is through the Son. What Jesus says in this verse truly does make you stop and think. He makes the statement that if these disciples had known him, they would also know his Father. Now, the obvious implications of that is that they do not really know him. Even though they'd been with him, they still didn't know him. They still didn't truly believe who he is. Folks, what does it mean to know God? There is the knowing of the facts about God. I was blessed. I was brought up in a Christian home and I went to Sunday school and I knew so many facts, but it was just a knowledge. It was just a head knowledge. There is knowing God by faith that believes in God, a theist rather than an atheist. But a theist may believe that there is a God somewhere, a higher power, but not necessarily believe in the God of the Bible. There is knowing of God in the sense of having a personal, intimate connection and relationship with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about here. There are things that you may know about because of creation. You can't deny that there is a God when you look at creation. When you see a sunset or a sunrise. When you see a newborn baby born. When you just look into the intricacies of a beautiful these avers, don't want to open up your flower, but when you look into the intricacies of just a simple rose, you can't deny that there isn't a creator. Paul tells us in Romans that man is without excuse because of creation, but you cannot know God personally and intimately by knowing a creator or understanding a creator. The only way that you can know him with such intimacy is through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior. If you want to know God, if you want to go to heaven, you must believe in him. Dr. Ironside said this, if you want to know what God the Father is like, Get better acquainted with Jesus, and then you'll know. Secondly, from now on, you know him and have seen him. That phrase, from now on, designates a new moment in time for these believers, in which this doctrine absolutely needed to be embraced. From now on, know this, disciples. To have seen Jesus Christ, to have seen me, is to see the Father. And to have known Jesus Christ is to have seen the Father himself. Do you know, Jesus delighted about speaking about his relationship with his Father more than anything else, you know. Amazing. He actually uses it 156 times in John about he speaks about his relationship with his Father. What is interesting is that in the Old Testament, God himself is very, very rarely referred to as Father. In fact, more often than not, he is referred to with these terms, Elohim, which means the self-existing, all-powerful God, or Jehovah, or Jehovah, the sacred I Am, or Adonai, the Master and the Lord of all. And what is really interesting is in this simple phrase, and that's why I say it's such deep doctrine. Let me just read it again for you. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you know him because you have seen me. Do you know what Jesus Christ is saying here? He's saying simply this, I am Elohim. I am Jehovah. I am Adonai, because God and I are one. When Jesus equates himself with God, his Father, he is equating himself with all that is true of the Godhead. Jesus is saying here to his disciples, from now on, it is your responsibility to realize this, but not only to realize the truth of this, but to teach it so others will know. I love the way that Christ defers the responsibility onto his disciples. And that responsibility is being given to you and I, as disciples of God today. In other words, from this point on, his deity needed to be known and seen and also to be defended. Folks, we need to continue to defend the deity of God today, because that is one of the major attacks on the truth of Jesus. From this moment on, these disciples were accountable to see something the entire nation of Israel had missed. They must know and understand. Now the question comes up, what would enable them to all of a sudden have the light bulb switched on in their heart and brain? What would help them to do that? Well, the answer from this morning was the Holy Spirit. Some of you were there, thank you. Yeah, it was the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that would enable them from a spiritual perspective. It was he that would enable them to understand these things. But there were two other things that were just about to happen. One, which is we've already alluded to. The first is this, that the glory of God was about to be seen. And the second was that the Spirit of God was about to be received. Jesus had already displayed his glory in so many ways. How had he done that? Through the miracles that he'd exercised. Through the things that he'd said. And they'd seen his glory. Those ones that went up to him within the Mount of Transfiguration as well, where he was transfigured in before their very eyes. They'd seen the very Shekinah glory of God as well and lived. So they'd seen the glory. But that glory was going to be demonstrated in another way. In what way was that? On the cross. In the death and in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were about to witness that. And what they were going to be experiencing from now on was that which was going to help them to understand that the Father and the Son are one. But equally as well, that they were going to receive the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God would be poured out on them, and as a result of that, they would fully understand the truth of Jesus. Do you know, all systems of religion tell you that you can point to the way of the eternal. whatever that is. Judaism, Islam, Hinduism, Mormonism, Taoism, any other ism. But the truth of the fact is that the only way to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. Folks, if you know that truth tonight, do you know that truth? Then let me tell you, you know the Father. And we need to protect that truth and affirm that truth. That God, the Son, and God the Father are one. And it is the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. The triune God, three God in one. This is the reason. This is our hope. This is the truth that he is God. To him be the praise. To him be the glory this night.